Your money briefing is sponsored by Athene, where our innovative annuity solutions and unique crediting strategies are powered by unconventional thinking. We are driven to do more for you.
With your money briefing, I'm Charlie Turner in New York for the Wall Street Journal. U.S. stock markets came down with a big case of the jitters Friday. Stocks and bond yields tumbled after weak manufacturing data deepened investors' concerns about the health of the global economy. The selling picked up into the close with the Dow Jones Industrials falling 460 points to 25,502. The NASDAQ Composite lost 196 points, 2.5%, and the S&P 500 fell 54 points. For the week, the Dow fell 1.3%, the NASDAQ dropped 0.6%, the S&P lost 0.8%. Joining us is Wall Street Journal markets reporter Akane Otani. Akane, as mentioned, there was some weak manufacturing reports, including one in the U.S. and one in Germany as well, or in the Eurozone.
That's right. And it really confirmed, I think, for a lot of investors that the momentum in the Eurozone in particular is weakening. And while that doesn't necessarily mean that U.S. stocks are going to be affected on a one-to-one direct basis, investors here really care about what's going on in the Eurozone because, of course, we have a lot of multinationals that make up the S&P 500. So when you see such a large region of the world suffering a decline in economic data, it's natural that at some point it's going to have a ripple effect. And I think that's what investors are really worried about at this point is if we're starting to see the beginning of a more prolonged downturn or if this is just sort of first quarter weak soft patch.
There have been signs of a slowing economy, but that had not worried investors because central banks have indicated that they would back off plans to raise interest rates. But as you say, I guess investors are worried that this downturn will persist across the globe.
That's right. And I think more and more we're hearing this question of how far can central banks go? I mean, especially in the Eurozone, rates on developed markets are quite low still. And so there's not that much more that the ECB can do, especially compared to the Federal Reserve. So there is this fear that maybe when the next downturn really starts happening, that central banks will be somewhat more limited with regards to the tools that they have, as opposed to, say, you know, a decade ago when we were seeing the financial crisis erupt.
The weak manufacturing data sent bond yields tumbling across the globe. The yield on the 10-year Treasury is now at its low point for the year, 2.453%. Talk about all that.
Why investors care about bond yields? I mean, when we're thinking about borrowing costs across the economy, they're very often pegged to the benchmark bond yield. So in this case, the 10-year U.S. Treasury yield, in Germany, the 10-year German Bund yield. And when we see these yields fall, it typically indicates that investors are losing confidence in future prospects for growth. And so the steep slide that we saw at the end of the week really, I think, brought home that investors are taking these economic readings that we're getting and they are concerned. This isn't necessarily something that they were expecting to see at the end of the week. And I think the fact that we're seeing bond yields puncture, in Germany's case, it went negative for the first time since October 2016. In the case of the 10-year U.S. Treasury yield, we're seeing the lowest settle since January 2018. I mean, those numbers really tell you the extent to which investors have become worried.
Talk about the significance of this, Akane. The spread between 3-month and 10-year U.S. Treasuries fell to negative 0.03%.
Right. So that's what we call the yield curve, which is the spread between shorter term and then longer term Treasuries. And in history, we've seen recession follow every single time that this curve has inverted, or in other words, when the 3-month Treasury has yielded more than the 10-year Treasury. And that kind of makes sense because when you think about it, investors typically expect more of an investment on something that they're holding on to for 10 years as opposed to for 3 months. So the fact that we saw the inversion happen today for the first time since 2007, I think really caught people's eyes because it's telling us that what is happening in the Eurozone and some of the loss of momentum that we've seen in the U.S. is factoring into investors' growth prospects.
I guess this is old news. Earlier this week, the Fed indicated that they would not raise interest rates this year, wrapping up the cycle of rate hikes that began 3 years ago. But, you know, that's 2 days ago, and it seems like a long time ago.
Yeah, and it's funny how the market's tenor seems to change so dramatically from day to day, because for a lot of this year, it did seem like investors were reassured by that kind of signaling from the Fed. They were taking comfort in the fact that the Fed was signaling having a pause in rate increases. And a lot of people were attributing the really tremendous stock rally that we were seeing the last couple of months to that. And even with today's declines, I mean, the S&P 500 is still up double-digit percentages for the year, still on track for its biggest quarterly gain in, I think, nearly a decade. But you do have to consider that it seems like investors are increasingly questioning whether the Fed's messaging is something that they should take comfort in or that they should sort of raise an eyebrow at.
Well, what about for the new week? The Commerce Department will release the final revision of fourth quarter gross domestic product, and it's supposed to come in fairly tame compared to what we experienced for most of 2018.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting one to watch because, you know, on the one hand, investors have been saying for several months at this point, you know, expect some cooling in the economy, especially because we're seeing the benefits from the tax cut fade increasingly. And because the to some extent, the gains of the first half of 2017, 2018, they really look hard to repeat at this point in the economic cycle. But then again, it seems like people are a little bit jittery these days, so it'll be interesting to see if that reading and the sort of soft patch that we're expected to see is going to spark another market reaction.
We could see jitters continue into next week.
Yeah, well, hopefully not, but we'll have to see.
Wall Street Journal Markets reporter Akani Otani. Thanks, Akani.
Thanks for having me.
Your money briefing is sponsored by Athene, where our innovative annuity solutions and unique crediting strategies are powered by unconventional thinking. We are driven to do more for you.
Many of the economic reports coming out in the new week are from the housing sector, but the most important reading concerns economic growth. This Thursday, the Commerce Department issues its final estimate of fourth quarter gross domestic product. The latest revision is expected to show the economy slowed down in the final 3 months of the year to just a little above 2%. Also due out are data on personal incomes and consumer spending. As for the aforementioned housing sector, we'll get reports in the upcoming week on housing starts and building permits, both new and pending home sales, and the latest Case-Shiller Home Price Index. A couple of reports on trade are expected, January's trade deficit and the fourth quarter current account deficit. And we'll get two reports on consumer confidence. Quarterly earnings reports are due from companies such as BlackBerry, Carnival, Lululemon Athletica, and a couple of home builders, Lennar and KB Home. And that's your Money Briefing. I'm Charlie Turner in New York for the Wall Street Journal.